This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
The time that you were inside the residence, you did not seek to or ask permission to look around any place other than where you happen to be standing, which is right inside that front door, the family room, sort of adjacent to the kitchen area, correct?
That is correct, yes, sir.
You didn't walk into any adjacent rooms?
No, sir. No, sir.
Okay. You didn't walk into any, you didn't search the kitchen area?
I did not, no, sir.
You didn't look through the cabinets or anything like that?
Absolutely not, no.
You didn't look at the glassware?
Absolutely not, no.
You didn't go down to the basement? We talked about that previously.
Correct. And no, absolutely not.
Okay. You didn't go out to the garage?
No, sir. No.
Nope. You didn't look around the garage?
No.
Other than walking in and basically where you just described, standing while Sergeant Lank was engaged with Ms. McCabe, you didn't do anything to search the interior of that house for anything?
No, I wasn't there to search at all.
Okay. You also didn't, subsequent to that, you didn't seek or receive a search warrant?
No, I did not.
Okay. You didn't believe that it was necessary, in your mind, it was necessary to seek a search warrant to search the interior of that house?
That's absolutely correct.
You were aware at the time that you did go into the house that Sergeant Lank had earlier reported at least the possibility that John O'Keefe may have gotten into a fight, correct?
I don't recall that. We went over options on how he could have come to where he was, and an altercation certainly was one of them.
Okay, so that's fair enough. So an altercation meaning was one of them. When you say altercation, that means a physical fight, correct?
Sure.
So that was a possibility in your mind?
Everything was a possibility at that time.
And at that time, you had the information that you found, or Mr. O'Keefe's body was found on the lawn of a residence where there was alcohol, drinking, a party of some sort, or a gathering of some sort just hours earlier, correct?
That's correct, but the house had nothing to do with the incident.
At least to your mind?
That's correct, based on the evidence, yes, at that time.
And the evidence at that time was simply your communications with some, but not all, the occupants of the house, including Jennifer McCabe, correct?
That is correct, yes, sir.
You didn't separate any of the witnesses that were, or any of the occupants that you saw inside the house, or you came across inside the house, for instance, by taking them to the station, putting them in separate rooms, so that they couldn't coordinate testimony, things of that nature?
At that time?
At that time.
So Detective Sergeant Lank was there to speak with Jennifer McCabe only.
Okay. But there were others in the house?
There were others in the house, yes.
I'm just trying to figure out whether or not you took the added step of separating those witnesses, asking those witnesses potentially to join you down at the station, putting them in separate rooms, separating those witnesses. You did not do that?
Not at that time, no.
Okay. At any time, did you?
No, shortly thereafter, we were removed from the investigation. We removed ourselves from the investigation.
And before you were removed from the investigation, you just left the house after the conversation that Sergeant Lank had with Jennifer McCabe, correct?
Yes, after he took Jennifer McCabe's statement, we left the house, yes.
Is the reason that you didn't seek a search warrant or separate the witnesses or ask any of the potential witnesses to join you down at the station, did that have anything to do with your knowledge that the homeowner was a police officer?
Absolutely none. I've actually executed warrants on police officers' houses in the past, including police officers I personally worked with and had to charge some of their children. So that absolutely would not factor into a reason.
And it didn't factor in this case?
Absolutely not.
My question. It didn't factor into your decision-making that Brian Albert was a police officer?
Absolutely not.
He didn't get any special treatment because of that?
Not by me, absolutely not.
Okay, not by you?
Not.
Okay.
I can only speak to my personal knowledge.
You were aware that, and you indicated yesterday, that the reason that Canton PD was removed from the investigation, or at least the interview section of the investigation, was because of a relationship of one of your detectives. You indicated your best detective, Kevin Albert, correct?
That's correct.
Or you gave Mr. Albert, Detective Albert, very high praise?
He's a very good detective, yes.
And you were his direct supervisor?
I was at one point, yes.
Okay. You're aware that Kevin Albert was disciplined by the Canton Police Department for an incident occurring in July 2022, correct?
I am, yes.
Do you stand by your testimony knowing that Kevin Albert is your best detective or was your best detective?
He's an excellent detective, yes.
You indicated that you contacted your deputy chief, Deputy Chief Kelleher, and ultimately secured some solo cups from Deputy Chief Kelleher across the street, correct?
That is correct, yes, sir.
You were aware at the time that Deputy Chief Kelleher's house was adorned with a Ring video camera just over the front door facing out toward the street and facing across the street, which would be facing 34 Fairview, correct?
That is incorrect. He does not have a Ring camera. I know that his system is an Arlo camera, and I have personal knowledge of that because we've discussed cameras because we bought them approximately the same time.
My mistake. Arlo camera, A-R-L-O.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. That's still, although it's a different brand, it's still a home personal surveillance camera, correct?
Yes. But
and you're aware that those are motion-activated cameras designed for security to capture images of things that may be going on outside the home.
That is correct. Yes, sir.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Briefly.
Thank you.
Mr. Kelleher, would you take a look at that photograph that I just handed you?
Yes.
What's it marked for ID?
It is marked for ID, and Mr. Gallagher, if you could read that for me, so save me a trip up to the stand.
I believe it's a 5, Exhibit 5.
Could it be an S?
It could be an S, yes.
I think it's S, Your Honor.
I apologize.
It is S? Okay, thanks. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Do you recognize what's depicted in that photograph?
I recognize the camera and the door.
Okay. Yes. Is that a shot of Deputy Chief Gallagher's... Sorry.
That's okay. I know what you're asking.
Is this a shot of Deputy Chief Kelleher's front porch?
It appears to be.
Okay. Does that front porch face 34 Fairview?
Need a time frame.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
We need a time frame.
Sure. Did you see that Arlo camera so situated when you went over there on January 29th, 2022?
I knew it was there, yes.
Okay. And is that a fair representation of what the camera looked like and its positioning, basically its positioning in January of 2022?
Yes.
Okay. Did you seek the footage?
I didn't. I know what that camera captures.
Okay. Your Honor, with the court's permission, may we publish, I'd like to mark this as evidence next in order.
Okay.
I may approach.
Yes.
653.
May I publish, Your Honor?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher, do you recognize this as being the photograph that you just saw, Exhibit 53?
That is correct.
Okay. I'm going to draw your attention. And by the way, there is one amendment to this photograph. There's a redaction of the address. You see that?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to draw your attention to that area right there, which
yes.
I'm highlighting.
Yes.
What is that?
That is the Arlo camera.
Can you orient the jurors for us, please, to what we're looking at in this photograph?
You're looking at a camera that's angled downward.
And is it the front porch of that residence directly across the street from 34 Fairview?
It is not directly across from 34. It's actually more directly across from 32, so that would be incorrect.
Okay. Is it across the street from 34 generally?
It is. If Lieutenant Kelleher's house is here, 34 is over here across the street.
Okay. Is there a view from that front porch, just generally as you're standing there, if you were to turn 180 degrees and put your back to the door, is there a view of 34 Fairview as well as 32 Fairview?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Did you seek and we can take this down. Did you seek to secure the any footage from that Arlo camera?
I did not.
From Deputy Chief Kelleher?
I did not.
Did you talk to Deputy Chief Kelleher about that footage?
I don't remember specifically.
Did you ask him whether or not he had reviewed the footage for a determination whether or not it caught any of the incident that may have occurred at or around 34 Fairview on January 29th, the early morning hours of January 29th?
I don't know if I did. I know it would not have.
How do you know it would not have?
Because I know what that camera captures.
How do you know what that camera captures?
Because I've picked up packages for Deputy Chief Kelleher in the past. I know it captures his doorstep and a portion of the front lawn.
So you've reviewed the Arlo footage from his iPhone?
No. He's just sent me a picture. Can I pick up when he's been on vacation, can I pick up a package on the front step?
Okay. So,
yes, I've seen it.
So you've seen screenshots that Deputy Chief Kelleher sent you, correct?
I believe so, yes.
But you've never looked at the actual application to see what it might encapsulate or what it might capture generally.
We've compared what we have our cameras set up as. We communicate. We had communicated about security at our houses multiple times. I know it captured the front door and a portion of the front lawn.
Do you believe that it would have been best practices to go ahead and secure that footage so we don't have to take anybody's word for it? We could actually look at the footage ourselves.
I didn't do that.
Do you think that would have been best practices to do that, just to have belt and suspenders? So there's no question about whether or not that camera that's facing, at least it's facing directly across the street, might have captured something of interest on the morning of January 29th, 2022.
To me, there was no expectation that it had captured anything, so I didn't think it was practical.
So because of your expectation, you didn't seek the footage and you didn't secure the footage?
Because of my knowledge and expectation, yes.
And you now know that that footage is gone?
I would assume so. I'm not familiar with how long Arlo keeps footage.
So you are familiar enough that you decided that it wasn't important to capture the footage, but you're not familiar enough to know whether or not the footage is actually saved onto the Arlo system?
I don't know anything about it. I don't have Arlo cameras. I don't know anything about the system.
Okay.
I have Blink, so we've compared our systems. I'm not really sure what you're asking.
So you don't have an Arlo system?
I have Blink, correct.
You're not familiar with how Arlo works, correct?
Correct.
You're not familiar with the total array of where the cameras might capture versus what might be captured on your phone app, or that you can say, like, push a button that says packages or people, and it narrows the focus of the camera? You're not aware of that?
I'm not aware of that, no.
Okay. But you would have been aware of that if you had captured the footage and simply said to Deputy Chief Kelleher, I'd like that Ring footage for that 24-hour period.
Okay, it's not Ring.
I'm sorry, that Arlo footage for a 24-hour period.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Did Deputy Chief Kelleher get any special treatment from you because he's a police officer?
No.
Did Deputy Chief Kelleher get any special treatment from you because he was your boss?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. You know Brian Higgins?
I do.
How do you know him?
Brian Higgins is a special agent with the ATF.
How long have you known him?
I first became aware of Brian Higgins probably around 2016, 2017, when I was with the DEA and we were working a Title III investigation, which is a wiretap investigation into gang activity, drug distribution in the Boston-Brockton area. I never had any personal contact with him at that time. He was just an agent in the group I was working for.
Ultimately, did that professional relationship seep into more of a personal relationship as well?
It did. So I think it was 2018 or 2019, the ATF had a satellite office at Canton PD, and he was one of the special agents that was assigned, yes.
So he actually officed in the brick-and-mortar location of Canton PD?
Yes, he did.
And did he maintain that office all the way through January of 2022?
He did, yes.
And during the course of your interaction with Mr. Higgins, Did you become friendly with Mr. Higgins?
I've become friendly with Mr. Higgins, yes. Most of my coworkers I'm friendly with.
Is it safe to say that you socialized at times with Mr. Higgins?
I have, yes.
Okay. You've shared cocktails with Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Shared meals with Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Okay. So it is safe to say that you have both a professional and a personal relationship with Mr. Higgins?
Yes, I do.
And you consider him a good friend?
Yes, I do.
You were aware, Mr. Gallagher, that he was at 34 Fairview on January 29th, those early morning hours, during the course of the time when John O'Keefe went to 34 Fairview?
I'm sorry, can you repeat
sure.
that question?
You're aware that Mr. Higgins was at 34 Fairview in the home at the time that John O'Keefe went to 34 Fairview on January 29th, 2022?
The time I became aware of it was afterwards, yes.
Okay. That's what I mean. I know you weren't aware of it at the moment, but
right. okay.
you became aware of it.
Later on, yes.
Okay. When did you become aware of it?
I'm not sure. It was after we were... I'm not really sure.
It was during the time that you were dispatched over to Brian Albert's house to ultimately either begin the investigation or go into the home with Sergeant Lank and interview with people there, correct?
No, that wasn't the time, no.
Didn't you say in a report to... Lieutenant Tully, that when you went over to Brian Albert's house, that Brian Higgins was not there?
I don't recall Brian Higgins being there.
Right. So what I'm trying to register is whether or not you knew at the time that you went to Brian Albert's house, at least that second time, that you might or might not have expected to see Brian Higgins there because you knew he was at the home when John Keefe arrived there the night before.
Can you rephrase that question? I'm not following you.
Sure. When you went back to, in other words, during the time that you were investigating and joining Sergeant Lank
yes.
back over at Brian Albert's house, you knew that Brian Higgins had been somehow in that home the night before.
I don't believe I did at that time.
When do you think you learned that?
Sometime afterwards, probably, when I saw the list and reviewed the narratives of the officers.
Would that have been days or weeks later?
No, it probably would have been, within 24 hours or so.
Okay, within 24 hours of your involvement?
Correct,
okay,
yes.
That's what I was trying to get to.
Okay,
thank
I apologize.
You for that. My bad.
No.
Bad questioning on my part. So within 24 hours of your involvement, which would have been, your involvement was the early morning hours of January 29th.
That's correct.
Correct? Within 24 hours of that, you knew Brian Higgins was somehow tangentially involved or collaterally involved as a potential witness, if nothing else.
I'm not sure he was a witness to anything. I was aware that he attended the house at 34 Fairview after they left the bar.
Right. And you said, well, I'm not sure he was a witness to anything. The one way to figure out whether or not someone is a witness to anything is to actually formally interview them, correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Which you did not do.
We were removed from the investigation before I found out Brian Higgins was involved.
Okay, so you were removed.
So I wouldn't be interviewing him.
You were removed, and then it was within a few hours of that you realized that Brian Higgins was somehow involved.
Not a few hours, no. I said it was within 24 hours, probably.
Okay. You're aware that Mr. Higgins not only had an office at Canton PD, he also had a key card for Canton PD.
Yes, he did.
Explain for the jurors what a key card or an access card at Canton PD means. What is that? What is a key card for Canton PD?
So it's a secure building. I think we've all seen it. You have square boxes with the red light. The key card allows you access into the building. And depending upon your rank, you have different rights. Each individual has different rights to enter different areas.
You had, for instance, being a top-level Canton lieutenant, you had a key card that was probably the functional equivalent of a master key card. You could get in pretty much any place you wanted?
Absolutely not.
Okay, where could you go?
It's easier if I say where I can't go.
Would that work? Explain that.
So I can't go to the armory, which is where weapons are kept and ammunition is kept, and I can't go into permanent evidence.
Okay. You're aware that Brian Higgins had a key card?
Yes, I am.
And that access card gave him access to pretty much, with the exception of the armory, possibly the evidence room, and what was the other location?
I think that's what I said, the evidence room and the armory.
With the exception of those, you're aware that Brian Higgins' key card gave him access basically to the entirety of the Canton Police Department?
Well, so I want to specify, I don't specifically know what Brian Higgins had rights to, but there are also parts of our department that are secured by key locks that he wouldn't have access to, and I don't have access to as well, offices and things of that nature.
I want to focus your attention on the Sally Port, if I could. You can enter the Sally Port, which is a fancy name for a garage, correct?
It certainly is, yes.
Okay. You can enter that from the outside, meaning out in the elements. You come from a parking lot adjacent to or that services the Sally Port. You can enter from there, correct?
Yes, there's one pedestrian door on the main entrance side, and it's for location purposes. It's right beside the garage door that's marked number 4.
And the garage door is one of those big roll-up, industrial-style roll-up doors that comes up and down?
That is correct.
And then you can also enter the Sally Port from inside Canton PD, correct?
There are two locations you can enter the Sally Port from inside, yes.
And Brian Higgins' key card gave him access to both of those locations, the pedestrian portal going into the Sally Port from outside as well as the pedestrian portal from inside Canton PD.
That would be correct.
Okay. Speaking of the Sally Port, you were, if not the person, one of the people who let Massachusetts State Police into the Sally Port on February 1st, 2022 to process the black SUV, correct? The Lexus.
I'm not sure if I was the one that gave them access, but I certainly would have.
Okay. that SUV had actually arrived on January 29th, 2022, 3 days earlier. Is that right?
I believe so, sometime after 5 or 6. I'm
so
not sure
of the time.
So it was
in the Sally Port from January 29th all the way to February 1st, at least to your knowledge, for 3 full days in the Sally Port, correct?
2.5 to 3, yes.
Okay. From the time it arrived at Canton PD until it was processed out and moved out of the Sally Port, how many people would have had physical access to that SUV?
Everybody that possessed a key card.
And that's basically everybody at Canton PD that is a sworn officer, correct?
That is correct, yes,
maybe
sir.
Maybe even some civilians, correct?
I'm not sure of civilians. What civilian?
But do y'all have non-sworn civilians that
We don't. No, we do. Well, we do, but I'm not sure whether they would have access, what their access is.
So at least the entirety of the police department, the sworn police department, correct?
The uniformed police, yes.
As well as Brian Higgins, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Thank you. By the way, can I go back to something?
Sure.
When you were at 34 Fairview, when you walked in with Sergeant Lank, you walked in through the side door or the main door?
Side door.
Side door into the family room, correct?
I believe it's a family room, yes.
Walked into the kitchen, correct?
I was by the kitchen.
Adjacent to the kitchen. Did you see a dog?
I did not.
Speaking of the Sally Port, I want to move back to the Sally Port. I apologize about bouncing around a little bit.
Perfectly fine.
Moving back to the Sally Port, you indicated that basically all the uniformed officers, every single uniformed officer at Canton PD would have had access to that Sally Port, as well as Brian Higgins. They also would have had access to everything inside the Sally Port, whatever was left there.
Yes.
The SUV and other stuff, for lack of a better technical phrase, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Did you photograph or did you cause to be photographed the SUV when it arrived on January 29th in your Sally Port?
We had been recused at that point, and I wasn't working when the vehicle arrived. So
I thought you said you were recused only from doing interviews.
From doing investigative interviews, but I wasn't working when the vehicle came in.
Okay. So you could have taken photographs of the vehicle had you wanted to. Or caused someone to do that, had you wanted.
I had no idea that vehicle was coming to Canton PD, sir.
Okay. Once you got to, as the lieutenant in charge at the scene, was it important to you to know that a seminal piece of evidence had been moved into the custody and control of Canton PD?
It wasn't important to me. It's the state police investigation.
Again, it was on your property, in your Sally Port, with access through your key cards.
That's up to my chief. That's not up to me.
I see. To your knowledge, Let me just ask it this way. To your knowledge, did anybody seek to photograph the vehicle when it arrived at Canton PD on January 29th, 2022, to your knowledge?
I have no personal knowledge of that.
Have you ever seen a photograph of that vehicle that was taken by someone in law enforcement on January 29th? I'm going to give you 3 days. January 29th, January 30th, January 31st. Sorry, 30th or February 1st.
I have seen photographs. I'm not sure what days they were taken, the photos were taken.
You have not seen a photograph that was taken on January 29th, however, have you?
I've never seen anything dated January 29th.
You've never seen a photo, and I'm going to go through this a little bit more. You've never seen a photograph that was taken on January 30th, have you?
Yeah, I have never seen any photographs with any dates on them.
Okay.
I believe.
Do you think that would have been, as a, you were at the time the head of detectives, correct?
No, that's not correct.
You were not? You had already moved from that spot?
In
January of 2022, I may be wrong. I thought
wrong.
As the lieutenant, you were also the head of detectives.
No, that was Lieutenant Kelleher at the time. It's a mix-up. So we've had promotions since January 29th, and I think that's where the mix-up might be.
So he was a lieutenant.
When you refer to Deputy Chief Kelleher, he was actually Lieutenant Kelleher, and he was in charge of detectives at that time.
At some point, had you been in charge of detectives?
I became in charge of detectives in June of 2022.
June of 2022?
Yeah, approximately 6 months later.
Understood. You had been a detective previously, however.
That is correct.
Okay.
Sir.
As a detective, do you believe that it would have been important to photograph, had you had your druthers to do it, it would have been important to photograph that vehicle when it came in so that it could be memorialized and documented the exact condition that that vehicle came in on January 29th, 2022?
So this is important to know that unfortunately, John O'Keefe was deceased at this time. Once John O'Keefe becomes deceased, it becomes the state police's investigation, the Norfolk County District Attorney CPAC investigation. That's why it is not our investigation. It's up to the investigating agency to make those decisions.
Even something as uninvasive as taking photographs?
Yes.
Okay. You would agree, as a former detective and former head of detectives, that there are protocols for securing evidence of all types, correct?
Correct.
Those protocols dictate that not only is evidence properly secured, it needs to be properly secured, and it needs to be separated from other evidence to avoid something known as cross-contamination, correct?
Correct.
And you would agree with me that that is paramount in evidence handling, in any investigation, correct?
Yes.
And that's because once evidence is cross-contaminated, its integrity basically collapses, right?
That's correct.
It's especially true of biological material, isn't that right?
Yes.
Because biological material, like a shovel, the biological material on the shovel becomes hyper-sensitive. It's hyper-important. It can be cross-contaminated with other items.
Sure.
And it can tell an incorrect story, correct?
Yes.
It could tell, if there's cross-contamination, it could tell a false story.
It's been done, yes.
And DNA, obviously, we're talking about biological material. The most sensitive of all the biological material is DNA evidence, right?
What do you mean sensitive?
So it might take some effort to move saliva from one item to another. It takes almost no effort to move DNA from one item to another and to detect it. You understand what I'm saying? The sensitivity of the detection.
No, I don't understand what you're saying.
You understand that I could touch this podium and you might not get my fingerprint off of it.
Correct.
Might not, correct?
Might not.
What do you think about getting my DNA off that podium
yes.
that I just touched? You're absolutely going to get it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I mean by sensitivity.
Okay.
You would agree that DNA is hypersensitive.
I would agree that DNA is better than fingerprints, yes.
I'd like you to take a look at a series of photographs, if we could.
Can I approach you?
Yes.
Okay. There are four photographs. skeleton that I'd like you to look at briefly and familiarize yourself with if you can. Mr. Gallagher, do you recognize what's depicted in those photographs?
I do.
How do you recognize what's depicted in each one of those? There's four of them in front of you. Just generally, how do you recognize what's depicted in those photographs?
Generally, I know this is the exchange of custody from the Canton Police to the Massachusetts State Police.
Are those taken inside the Sally Port, to your knowledge?
They are, yes.
Some of those photographs include the SUV?
One SUV picture, yes.
And some of those photographs include the blood evidence that you've earlier described, the Solo cups, the Stop and Shop bag.
That is correct, yes, sir.
May I approach?
Yes.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, I'd like to have these marked as next in order.
Are there any objections, Mr. Brennan?
No objection, thank you.
To start with what's been marked as 54, it shows a license plate. Do you recognize what's depicted in this photograph?
Yes, based on the location, the vehicle, the broken taillight, I believe that's Ms. Reed's vehicle.
And do you know when this photograph was taken?
I do not.
Do you believe it was taken between January 29th and February 1st?
Yes.
But you don't know when it was taken?
No, I don't have personal knowledge, no.
I just want to draw your attention very briefly, just to orient us to this area on the bottom right-hand corner. Do you see that, what looks like a white rag on the ground?
Yes, based on the pictures, I think it might be a paper towel, but yes.
Okay. If we could look at the next photograph, which is 55, looks like a paper bag. Do you recognize what's depicted in this photograph?
Yes.
What is that?
That's the Stop and Shop bag that contained the six samples.
Do you see the rag in that photograph as well?
Yeah, we could call it a rag or
paper. You think paper towel?
I'm not sure. It looks like a paper towel on the in the pictures, but it's a white object. Yes.
For all I care, it's the white thing. That's
yes.
Fine. All right. And do you see that that's next to a tire, just at the top of the picture? Just for orientation purposes.
Yeah, it appears to be 18 to 2 feet, 18 inches to 24 inches behind the tire, yes.
Okay, and that, of course, is the tire of the SUV.
Yes, I would think so.
So that would be the right rear of the SUV, just a few inches from this bag, correct?
It would be a couple of feet from the bag, yes.
Okay, if we could take a look at the next photograph. This is Exhibit 56 for the record. What's depicted inside the bag?
The red Solo cups.
And you still see the rag in the photograph?
I sure do, yes.
So the SUV would be right here, correct? At the top of the left.
Well, I can't see the top of it. It would be, it's nearby, yes.
Okay. And it's not just nearby, it's the right rear of the SUV that's nearby, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And one final photograph. This is Exhibit 57 for the record. What is inside that? What's depicted inside that bag?
The red Solo cups with coagulated blood.
And these are the only. We can have the lights, please. And so if you take that down. These are the only photographs that we have or that you've ever seen of those red Solo cups that Stop and Shop bag and the biological material in those red Solo cups?
The only ones I have seen, yes.
And those photographs that you see are within 2.5 feet from the right rear of that SUV, correct?
Approximately, yes.
And the right rear of that SUV houses the taillight material, correct?
The taillight area, yes.
The cups were not sealed, correct?
The cups were not sealed.
The bag was not sealed, was it?
As far as I know, what do you mean by sealed?
Yesterday you brought a box in. You remember that?
Yes.
That box had tape on it.
That's correct.
What color was the tape?
Red.
Why is the tape red?
It can be red, it can be blue. I mean, evidence tape is different colors.
Normally, in your experience, red evidence tape is used to formally seal evidence bags or evidence containers, correct?
Yes.
That's because it highlights to the eye a visual cue. Hey, that's important. It's been sealed. It's got bright red tape on it, correct?
Correct.
Oftentimes, that tape has additional information on it as well, correct?
It could have initials on it of who put the tape on, yes.
Right. In other words, it might say evidence, correct?
Yes, correct.
And it may have a place for initials to be.
Correct.
And one of the reasons that you initial it is because of that. If someone takes a razor blade and cuts through, or a knife and cuts through that tape, those initials are cut through. It has to be retaped and reinitialed, correct?
That is correct.
That is a basic protocol for chain of custody, is it not?
Yes.
And that's to maintain the care, custody, and control and the integrity over the items and the items inside the evidence container, whatever they may be.
That's correct.
Whether they are biological material, physical items of evidence, a document, whatever.
Correct.
None of that was done with what we just saw, correct?
Correct.
We've agreed already that the blood was stored in non-sterile Solo cups, correct?
Correct.
We've agreed that those cups were not sealed. The cups themselves were not sealed. There was no cap. There was no plastic, plasticine, saran wrap, nothing put over the cups, correct?
That is correct.
So they were open?
Yes.
They were not in an evidence bag. They were in a grocery bag, correct?
They were, yes.
Yesterday on direct examination, it may have been on cross-examination, Mr. Gallagher, I don't remember, you said, I have no idea where Sergeant Lang got that grocery bag, correct?
I don't know where the bag came from, no.
Could it come out of the back of his car seat, correct?
I'm assuming it came out of one of the cars, yes.
No idea what had been in that bag previous to those cups with blood being in the bag, correct?
I have no personal knowledge of that.
And obviously that bag, it goes without saying, is not a forensically sterile item either, correct?
Most bags are not sterilized.
And not only the cups were not sealed, the bag that the cups were in was not sealed.
They were only closed, correct.
You will agree that having unsealed and unsecured biological material, specifically blood material, situated right next to the right rear quarter panel of that SUV would not be within normal protocols for securing evidence, correct?
This was in the hands of a criminalist. It was an exchange of custody. I don't have any issue with it.
You don't know, you have no personal knowledge of where that bag had been or where the cups had been previous to that photograph being taken.
Correct.
You will agree that having unsealed and unsecured blood right next to the right rear of the SUV is a recipe for cross-contamination, wouldn't you?
Not in the hands of a trained criminalist, I wouldn't know.
Well, generally speaking, there were other people there that weren't the trained criminalists, right?
There was a photographer who took the pictures.
Who's not a trained criminalist?
Correct. The cups weren't in his hands. It was in the criminalist's hands. Those are the criminalist's hands you see gloved in that photo.
That's not my question. My question is, there was unsealed blood and in an unsealed bag for how much time, you don't know, sitting right there by the right rear of that SUV, correct?
No, I do know.
How do you know?
Because I'm the one that brought the bag with the criminalist to that area. They photographed it, documented it, and then they transferred it to their plastic containers.
And before you grabbed that bag, you don't know where that bag had been for 3 days before.
I know it had been in the temporary evidence room in a refrigerator.
You actually never saw it in the temporary evidence room in the refrigerator until February 1st, did you?
I don't recall.
So you don't know where that bag had been. You don't know who had handled those cups before you pulled them out of that temporary evidence locker, correct?
I have no personal knowledge if anybody else... I have no personal knowledge. I took them out of the refrigerator. That's all I can testify to.
Do you remember us talking about this about a year ago?
Yes.
And I asked you, would you agree that having unsealed and unsecured blood next to the right rear portion of the SUV is a recipe for cross-contamination? I asked you that question.
You did.
And you said, if I can speak to this incident alone? And I asked, that's a yes or no question?
That is correct.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
And you said, well, it's not a yes or no, but for your purposes, I would say yes.
Correct.
So it is, at least in your mind, a recipe for potential cross-contamination, correct?
Not in this particular situation, which was clarified later on.
Although you did say yes
hypothetically,
in answer to my question.
Hypothetically, anything is possible, yes.
Thank you, Your Honor. That's all I have.
All right, Mr. Brennan.
May I?
Right ahead, yes.
Lieutenant Gallagher, you mentioned that one of your colleagues who lived on Fairview Road had an OWL camera.
Had an OWL camera, yes.
That day or that morning when you went to Fairview and looked around where Mr. O'Keefe's, where you were directed Mr. O'Keefe's body was, were you aware that that gentleman had a camera?
Yes.
You shared with us that you had familiarity with the angle of that camera. Do you have any information whatsoever that he or anybody on his behalf used a phone to change the camera angle?
No, I don't.
Do you know if that camera could even reach the street if you wanted to?
I'm not sure.
Do you have any information that there are applications or different things you can do to the camera to move it remotely? Is there any evidence or information you have?
No.
When you decided not to ask about the camera, was that based on anything other than your already familiarity and knowledge of the angle that camera was set?
No.
At any time he's ever shown you, you've ever seen clips from that camera, were they consistently showing the same area or did it change over time?
Objection,
I'll allow it.
They were the same.
In your mind, why didn't you go seek footage from that camera?
In my mind?
Yes.
Because I knew it wouldn't have captured anything. I also know that they're motion-activated cameras and he didn't have them on the street because it's a busy street and the batteries would die in, and who knows, very quickly if they captured the street.
You said that's a very busy street. Are you familiar with Fairview Road?
Yes.
Is that a road, is that a public road?
It's a public way in the town of Canton, yes.
As a public way in the town of Canton, do you know who operates and cleans and monitors that road? Who's responsible for that?
Yes, the Department of Public Works for the town of Canton.
You were asked about a claim of a fight. Did any witness ever suggest to you that Mr. O'Keefe had been in a fight?
No.
When you first learned about Mr. O'Keefe, did you get a chance to actually look at his body?
No, I did not.
Did you get a chance to look at his wounds?
No, I did not.
Did you get a chance to examine his clothing and whether there was any trace evidence left behind?
I'll allow it.
No, I did not.
Early in an investigation, when investigators have no information, is it common to speculate?
Yes.
Sustained.
What is the natural process for an investigator when you start upon a situation and know nothing about what happened?
In this particular case, we came up with scenarios that possibly could have brought John to that spot. And we were focused on trying to find out and hopefully getting to the hospital. Hopefully the Canton Fire Department in the hospital would save his life and he could tell us how he got to where he was.
Was that anything beyond the surmise or speculation of detectives, or did that information come from a witness?
No, that was us. I guess you would call it spitballing on possibilities.
Did you ever come across a witness that said that this was, Mr. O'Keefe's injuries were the result of a fight?
No, we did not.
If we could play Exhibit 51, please. I want to ask you some questions about the area you searched where you were directed Mr. O'Keefe was. Stop it there, please, Ms. Gilman. You did not see exactly where John O'Keefe was when he was found?
No, I did not.
Who directed you to this area?
I was directed twice, first by Sergeant Good and then by Detective Sergeant Lang.
You shared with us yesterday you were looking in that area where you thought John O'Keefe was found.
Correct.
You asked questions about a berm. Is that the separation between the street and the yard?
Yes, it is.
Did you clear off a piece of that berm?
We did.
And the reason was?
We wanted to see what was there. We didn't know what was there.
Did you do a search from the flagpole all the way to the street?
No.
Did you do a search of that flagpole across the front yard?
No.
Did you do a search from that flagpole all across the berm all the way down the line?
No, it was approximately 15 to 18 inches.
And why such a limited search?
Because we had no other reason than it was a medical call at this time.
Did you see snow in other parts of the yard?
Yes, the entire yard was covered.
And other than Officer Lang's footprints across the front of the yard, no other footprints?
There were no other footprints.
Any other visible signs that anything was moved or dragged across that side or front lawn?
No, not at all.
Any doggy prints in the snow?
No, not at all.
You were asked whether you sought a search warrant. Is there a difference between a witness and an eyewitness?
Yes.
You were asked questions about people in the home and they were characterized as witnesses. Did you have any information that anybody inside that home was a witness to what happened to Mr. O'Keefe?
No.
Did you have any information when you made these decisions about search warrants? Did you have any information from anybody, anywhere, that Mr. O'Keefe ever stepped 1 foot inside that home?
I'm going to allow it. Briefly, can we turn the lights on, Mr. Brennan?
Yes, please. And we can take that down, Ms. Brennan. Thank you. May I?
Yes.
As a lifelong law enforcement officer, have you obtained search warrants before?
Yes.
Have you obtained search warrants for homes?
Yes, many times.
Is there a certain requirement before you obtain a search warrant for a home?
Yes, critical legal standards, yes.
And what is that?
Probable cause.
And for us, what does that mean, probable cause?
So probable cause is a reasonable belief that a crime has been committed or evidence of a crime can be found in a specific location.
Can you obtain a search warrant if you do not have a reasonable belief that evidence exists somewhere?
No, you cannot.
Is there a process in getting a search warrant? Can you just walk in a home and say, I have a search warrant, or do you have to do something?
You have to write an affidavit in good faith, swearing before the court that all your information is accurate and truthful, and present the facts, circumstances, witness statements that would make you believe that there was a reason to violate your Fourth Amendment constitutional right.
When you walked into Fairview that morning with Sergeant Lang, did you have a search warrant?
No, I did not.
Did you have any reason to get a search warrant?
No reason at all.
When you walked in, were you invited?
Yes.
Did anybody... Did anybody prevent you from coming in?
No, not at all.
Did anybody ever ask you to leave?
No, not at all.
When you spoke to Mr. Albert, did he ever discontinue or end the conversation?
No.
Were you doing any favors for anybody that morning?
No, of course not.
If you had probable cause to search anywhere that morning. Would you have?
Absolutely.
You were asked questions about memorializing your efforts when you were in the area of Mr. O'Keefe's body. And you were asked about written reports. Are there other ways to memorialize efforts other than writing a report?
Yes.
You videotaped, or you had Sergeant Good videotape your search?
That is correct.
Who told him to do that?
I did.
Why did you tell him to do that?
Because I want it, in case it ever became an issue, I wasn't familiar with it being used before. I wanted people to understand how effective it was.
Do you know whether or not the police cars have dash cams?
They do, yes.
Do you know if any of the police cars had dash cams that day?
Three of them did, yes.
You mentioned that at some point you learned that Mr. O'Keefe had passed.
I'm not sure when we found that out, but yes.
Is there a statute or a rule when there is a death, whether a local county keeps the case or it needs to be transferred?
It's transferred, yes.
Is there a rule or is that a policy of the Canton Police Department?
It's a rule.
You were asked about Alexis in the Sallyport.
Correct.
Do you know exactly what time that Alexis was brought to the Sallyport?
I don't have any personal knowledge of that.
You asked about a broken taillight. Have or had you reviewed any of the dash cams from the Canton Police Department that day?
Not that day, no.
You were asked about cross-contamination with the cups. When you brought the cups to the criminalist, where did you give them to him or her?
I carried them down to, we walked together, I carried them down to the Sallyport.
Did you see anybody using a white rag or a paper towel to dip it in to any of the cups?
No.
Did you see anybody shaking the cups or splashing?
No, they were handled very carefully.
Sustained is different.
Did you see anything that would cause you concern that there was some type of purposeful or inadvertent contamination or transfer?
Absolutely not.
And you've been trained?
Yes.
Did you see anything during that time that caused you any concern about the potential corruption of evidence?
No, I had complete faith in the criminalist.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
There is a box for identification that has a glass in it. I'd like to make that into evidence.
Jimmy.
I'll do it later then. Thanks.
Is there any objection, Mr. Jackson? Any objection to?
Okay. No objection, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right, so we can put it in at any time then? And then when Mr. McDermott comes back?
Thank you. The glass that you showed the jury yesterday, when you showed it to us yesterday, did it look any differently than when you recovered it from the ground where you were looking that morning?
No.
Did you have any information that that glass came from inside Fairview Road?
No.
Do you know where that glass came from?
I have no personal knowledge where that glass came from.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Very briefly, Your Honor. Okay. You indicated... You indicated that you were spitballing, to use your word, correct?
Correct.
Trying to figure out what happened.
Correct.
That's the job of an investigator, correct?
That is correct, yes,
sir. You
don't
just take witnesses' words for things, do you?
That is correct.
You have to corroborate things.
Yes.
You have to look deeper.
Yes.
Ask more questions.
Absolutely.
Actually investigate.
That's why we're here today.
You don't rule out anything or anyone right off the bat, correct?
Correct.
No one is ruled out. Nothing is ruled out. Correct?
That is correct. Yes.
You follow where the evidence leads you, period. Amen.
Absolutely.
You didn't seek to separate the occupants at 34 Fairview, correct?
No.
You didn't interview Brian Albert formally, did you?
I did not, no.
You were asked by Mr. Brennan, did he ever end the conversation precipitously? Did he end it earlier, anything like that? He didn't end any interview because he wasn't interviewed, correct?
That is correct.
You didn't interview Brian Higgins.
That is correct.
You wouldn't interview Brian Higgins because he's your personal friend, correct?
Correct.
But you didn't have anybody else interview him either, did you?
Again, I think we've gone over this and maybe you didn't understand it. I didn't know Brian Higgins was at the house at that time.
Because you didn't ask anybody else who was at the house at that time.
I wasn't talking to anybody at that house, correct?
Might have been a good idea, wouldn't it?
Not at that time. We were there for one specific reason. We wanted to get to the hospital. So, no.
Might have been a good idea to sit Mr. Albert down and say, there, you're shaking your head again. I'm not done with my question. Might have been a good idea, Mr. Gallagher, since you happen to be there, no sweat off your brow, to sit Mr. Albert down and say, by the way, I got a pen and a paper. Who was here last night just before John O'Keefe was found dead on your lawn? Who was here? Might have been a good idea, correct?
So that was already done by Detective Sergeant Lank, and it was documented in his report of everybody of what Mr. Jackson is asking.
Then how did you two not know that Brian Higgins was there?
I don't know what... Where?
At 34th...
I'm confused. At what time?
Right.
At what time?
Exactly.
At what time?
When John O'Keefe arrived.
Okay.
At 34th Fairview, after midnight on January 29th, 2022.
So when I discovered Brian Higgins was there, wasn't until I read the report.
If you were standing in the house, Sergeant Lank, you just told these jurors, knew that Brian Higgins and everybody else was there.
He had obtained the names. He hadn't written the report yet.
And hadn't told his boss?
I don't recall.
Even though you two went together to interview yet another witness?
That's correct. There was a very fast-moving scene and pace. That is correct.
While you were spitballing, you also didn't secure the camera footage that we've talked about, the Arlo footage.
Yes, right? That's correct.
You also didn't formally search the house, correct?
Absolutely correct.
We just talked about that. You didn't seek consent by Brian, by Brian Albert to search the house, correct?
That's correct.
You also didn't seek a search warrant. You've talked about that, correct?
Correct.
You don't get punished or in trouble if you seek a search warrant and a judge who has to sign the search warrant. Normal citizens can't do that. It requires a judge's signature. You don't get in trouble or get spanked or get slapped or get fined if you seek a search warrant that is denied, correct?
In this particular situation, I would need to articulate facts, certain circumstances, and witness statements. What I had was nobody could put John O'Keefe in the house, including Ms. Reed, and that we had a glass where they were coming from a bar. And I had three separate police officers, including myself, that had been in that house on three separate occasions and saw nothing amiss. I have a good faith obligation to present the truth to a judge. And if I don't, I can be found, end up on a Brady list or a Giglio list, as you know. And my credibility to testify in my career is basically over. So, yes, you can get in trouble.
You're talking about lying in an affidavit, sir.
I'm talking about misleading.
Correct.
I would have to twist circumstances to have the right to search Brian Albert's house. We had no reason, and there's been no reason since.
How about this? There's a dead guy on the lawn that looked like he potentially could have been in a physical altercation. How about that? Might that be of some concern to go inside the house and see if there was a struggle that started in the house?
There's still no evidence to go into the house.
You have a guy that's out on the lawn with no coat on. You think the coat might be inside the house? That might be a reasonable assumption? Yes or no?
No.
You got a guy outside with no shoe on. You think the shoe might be inside the house? That might be a reasonable assumption?
I never saw Mr. O'Keefe. I wasn't aware that he
because you didn't
have
seek
his shoes.
To find out the details. Other people knew every single fact that I just suggested at the time you walked in the house, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
The fact is, you didn't seek a search warrant.
I wouldn't, correct.
The fact is, you never searched the house.
That's correct.
The fact is, you never searched the basement.
That's correct.
The fact is, you never searched the garage.
That's correct.
That's all I have, Your Honor.
Have you ever learned one fact that would have justified searching that house?
Not to this day.
Sustained as to form, and you can put the glass in right now, Mr. Vernon.
Thank you. Move that into evidence, please.
Exhibit 58. All right, Lieutenant, you're all set, sir.
Thank you.
Your next witness, Mr. Brennan.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.